Blog Talk Radio.
Show, but before I bring my guest on, which I'm so super pumped, and people, you've got to know how awesome this stunt person is. I'm telling you, he's been in the business. He's worked from anywhere from like Steve McQueen to the hit series, The Walking Dead series, and we're going to catch up. I've had him on my show before, but before I bring him on, just remember, once again, I'm trying to actually help raise funds for the Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame. Currently, the Hall of Fame is without, a place of home. And there's so many hundreds of exhibits of rare artifacts and memorabilia of stars and stunt performers, you know, that are in, you know, storage. So if anybody wants to donate funds to the Stuntman Hollywood Hall of Fame, And once again, I am a board of advisors. I was actually welcomed on board for that. If you don't believe me, I got proof of the certificate on my Facebook page, so you can take a look at that. But if you'd like to give to it, believe me, the stunt community, they deserve this respect. I mean, seriously, this isn't just for the past decades. This is for the present and for the future stunt community. So it's something that even when I'm old and gray, my teeth are falling out and I'm pooping my pants and I can't wipe my butt, this, I'm going to still try to get this going. It's here. If you want to give a tax-deducted donation to the Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame, mail it to 81 West Cane Creek Boulevard, Cane, K-A-N-E Creek, C-R-E-E-K Boulevard, number 12, Moab, M-O-A-B, Utah, 84532, and mail it there. So it will be a wonderful, wonderful, you know, history museum for the stunt community, and believe me, it will be well worth it to give there. So check them out, and you can go and check on the website. So anyway, without further ado, oh my gosh, I think I'm just going to explode right now, ladies and gentlemen. You just don't even know, and I'm going to try to pronounce his name as best as I can. Give me one moment, because I'm actually, what I'm doing, you don't even know half the things I'm doing here, because it is radio. Tommy Mac Turvey Sr. I'm hoping this is him in the queue. He's probably been waiting very patiently, but I'm telling you, you guys have got to, like, hear this guy. This guy is the bomb on movie sets. And let me say, all stuntmen, they're all very humble, but this guy is so freaking cool. I got to bring him on. Hold on. Hello, caller, you on the air?
Hi, Shelly. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I just can't sit still, Tommy. Thank you so much. How are you doing for being on my show?
Happy to be here.
You what?
I'm happy to be here. Be on your show.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you were tired. I'll wake you up. I'm so excited, and we haven't talked for so long, but I'm so excited because you've been doing so much. And before we get into your present stuff, you know, I mean, what, like, you know, how have you been doing? You haven't broken any bones or anything lately or anything, right?
Kind of. I got I broke my jaw, and I broke a collarbone, and I got a little concussion and dislocated a finger. That's just a little boo-boo. It's all over now. It's healed, and I'm back and ready to go.
Oh, Tommy, you get me so excited. I know anybody else, I mean, it's like, I hope this is out of respect, but when I hear about all the things, I'm like, oh, I'm so turned on. Because I'm like, oh, I know it's bad to say, but I just get so excited when I hear these things. I'm like, yeah, battle scars, but I know it's painful, but I'm so glad you're okay.
That's all right.
Yeah, so before I get into your present stuff, can you tell people, because it's been a while since you've been on my show, before the films and the stunt industry, how did you, like, when you were growing up, you know, where did you, you know, where were you born, and how did you get into stunts with your martial arts? Like, talk to people about that a little bit before we get into the films themselves.
Well, I was born in Arkansas, but I left when I was three, my mom and my sister and me. We went to Southern California. In those days, a lot of people from Long Beach, California, a lot of people came from Oklahoma and Arkansas. So I grew up like the Okies and Arkies, and all we had to do was swim on the beaches, or if the waves were right, we'd surf. We'd go out to Catalina and dive. When the tourist boats come in, we'd dive down for money. Or we go to the deserts, or we go to the snow. Everything was right there. So we just grew up. Oh, yeah, and used to, you know, like the borders were open, so you could go down like to Ensenada or Rosarita Beach or over to San Felipe. So as kids, I had the best childhood a kid could have. So it was just,
wow.
just fun.
That's awesome. And so no one, anything you ever did in your life, no one ever thought you were weird or anything?
Weird. Everybody thinks I'm weird.
Well, I mean, no, because if you really think about it, it's like stunts, I mean, even society, and like, I don't know, like, I mean, out of respect, if you don't mind, if you don't want to say around the time when you got into stunts, what was the year? I mean, if you don't want to, you don't have to reveal that, but when did you start getting the stunts? How did you get into that?
I think it was 1971, I believe. And I was just a kid. But I was already riding in rodeos pretty good, and I had a lot of, I could do a lot of things on horses. So, I mean, I looked like a little bitty kid, but I could ride 3 Rustock events and Bulldog. So that kind of helped me out in, like, the first 3 movies I got on. It just happened to be rodeo movies. The first one I was with, Steve McQueen, I forget the other guys, Steve McQueen. Oh, yeah, James Coburn. And then there was another documentary where they won Academy Award for it.
So I just
started off riding in rodeos and kind of, and I could fall off without getting hurt too good, you know, too much. So they kept stuffing me on horses or bronks or whatever.
And you like, I mean, it's a passion that you had for this. And I just had a question, because I know people, you know, stunts and stuff. How was it, I mean, did you actually get to, like, talk to Steve McQueen? I mean, did you, you know, it's like, I know when you work on sets, not all the time you get to talk to actors, but what was your feeling towards, like, Steve McQueen? Because he wasn't that old when he passed away, right? I mean, what did you think of him?
He kind of reminds me of Burt Reynolds, kind of. I mean, his mind is so set on getting a shot. His eye is on the camera. And he's thinking here, he's thinking there, he's thinking everywhere. So he's thinking so many places, it's kind of hard. All you might get is like a hi or hello or how you doing out of him. But, you know, they were respectful, especially stuntmen. And you know, I had some real good times with him. But I wasn't old enough to go out and drink and party and stuff with him. So
oh,
I just had to
really
make it on
young.
The set. Yeah, yeah. I thought I was 17.
Oh my gosh! What was the film that you were in with Steve McQueen? Do you remember the name of it?
Yeah, Junior Bonner.
Okay, because I'm gonna have to like.
Junior Bonner.
Okay, because I'm gonna have to look that up and Google it on YouTube and check it out. You were 17, so now here I am. Now, I picture you, but you're a big guy, and I mean that in a respectful way. So when you say this little kid, it's going to be hard for me to find you, because usually I'm good at spotting people, you know, with what they look like. I was like, oh, because that's how I saw you on The Walking Dead, and I was like, that's Tommy. So
yeah.
You said you were tiny when you were 17?
Kind of. About 170 pounds.
Okay, because if I watch it, I'm going to screenshot it. If I find you, I'm going to screenshot you and tag you on my Facebook page. I'm sorry?
You have a hard time. The best way is if you could pick me out is especially at that time, I think I wore a 30-inch jeans, waist jeans, but I still had a big shoulder. And then I joined the Marine Corps. And after I got out of the Marine Corps, I hit like 180, and then I started boxing. I got to 190, so for 40 years, I've been at 190 pounds.
Wow. So you're a boxer, too.
Oh, yeah. I had 35 pro fights. That's some of the best times of my life.
Oh, seriously? Do you have pictures of you, like, in the ring or anything? Do you have any pictures at all?
I have, I think on IMDb I have one picture of me getting ready for a fight in Monterey. Then I had a fire destroy most of my pictures and stuff from old days, so I got a lot of newspaper write-ups.
Oh, I wonder if I can find you on Google.
Yeah, you should be able to.
I would love to find that, because I didn't know. You might have said that to me before, but I really think that it'd be kind of cool, not just, you know, stunts, you know, saying stunts is like talking more about you, is like you really are a fighter. So it's something you're like well-rounded and not just do stunts, but you can actually do your own fight scenes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's it kind of is good and bad, though, with boxing, because my hands are so fast. Any fighter's hands are going to be real, real fast. So to do your fight scenes, you have to drop your hand back and show your punch and then come across. And then if your hands are fast, you can only throw your hands that fast if you have somebody on the other side that can take it that fast. Then you got like a dance team. Boy, you can rock and roll. You know, you throw them punches to the body, throw them back up over the shoulder. And if you got somebody, especially like a fighter, you can just tap a little, pop, you know, move your hands and they can move through it, take them punches. Then you got to wait for them to recover. It's just great.
Oh, gosh, I'm never going to get you mad. I'm always going to be good. I was like, do you like chocolate? Because if I ever work with you on Sunday, I'm bringing you chocolate.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm going to do that. I mean, I know they say women like chocolate, but if you ever like chocolate instead, I was like, I'm never going to get Tommy, man. I'm going to stay on his good side.
There you go. Yeah, it's like
so full of life.
If you work on, like, Hulk Hogan, if you work on his series, I mean, he's the nicest guy. But if you go to his craft services, he's got bananas, he'll have plums, he'll have cans of tuna. And then you have these wafer bars, Nutri-Grain. You go look at anything, you know, this is all great, but where's the chocolate?
Yeah. You want some chocolate and, you know, you try to eat as best as you can because I've been trying to eat a certain way. You know, I'm not perfect. I'm trying to eat all clean. But sometimes on sets, like usually on sets that I've worked on, there's not really, how can I say, not healthy food. But when you say healthy food, I'm like, Hulk Hogan, well, it wouldn't be too bad. But I think you got to pack your own chocolate. You know, you might have to do that. But, so you work with Hulk Hogan, right?
Oh, yeah, we did a series, what was that, in the 90s, Thunder in Paradise. And if you look on my press, I think I had thug number two in every, like, 10% of the series. I don't know why I didn't get thug one or three. It's always number two, but that's okay.
They should have given you some lines. Did they ever, like, really? I mean, I remember kind of seeing that show, but once again, it's like, the funny thing is, like, all the people, the stuntmen that I'm connecting with on my show, like yourself, right? Now, I've always said, you know, growing up, even in the time when I was growing up in the 70s and 80s, we didn't have all the social media. So we couldn't look up people up on the computers. I didn't have a laptop for, like, a long time in computers, so if you're watching TV and cable, you couldn't, it doesn't have the technology like they do today. You can rewind things, right? Years ago, we couldn't do that. You watch the show, and if you missed anything on the show, you missed it. And more than likely, the things I've watched, you probably were in, and then I didn't realize who you are, and here I am sitting talking going, oh, my gosh. You know, I keep my jaw dropped on the floor because I'm sitting there going, you were in that? Like, all these other stunt guys, like, wait, I've seen your work. I didn't realize it was you. So when I'm sitting here talking with you, it's like I'm living my childhood again. But it's a good thing because I'm preserving history. And this is what I want to do with my show and bringing people like yourself who I love the stunt world. I love the stunt community. And you guys deserve respect, men and women, and even sometimes animals, because with one of the things you do is you work with horses. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. We do a lot with horses. My family can do things with horses that a lot of other people can't get them to do. We just always have had them. We've always had a way with them, and we just love them to death.
And that's why, like, I really like the fact was I saw some pictures. They were really cute pictures of you, Tommy. I got to admit this, and it just grabbed my heart. Now, you know, you're this big guy, and you're telling me you're a boxer and stuff, but the other pictures that I thought were so adorable, there's two of them I keep posting. You're working with a horse. I don't know if it's a pinto or not or whatever, and you got them. It's a picture of you and the horse, and it's bowing, and then you're laying on the ground with the horse, and I'm thinking, how does he get to do that? I mean, are you like a horse whisperer? I mean, where did you learn how to train horses? I mean, I know you said the rodeo show, but how? I mean, that's going to take a lot of patience.
Yeah, and I think the ones you're talking about, one of the horses bowing, there's a little friend of ours in the stunt community that had cancer. So I had that horse bow, and I sent out, we sent out healing prayers. And the horse was bowing, and, she got quite a kick out of it. So that's why I set that shot up for her. And the one with me laying down with the horse, I'm just kind of waving. And we just relaxed and, you know, taking a break. So, yeah, there's
beautiful.
Sweet.
I didn't know that. I'm going to cry. Tommy, you're so sweet. I hope you don't mind. I hope you don't take that in a bad way, because if you tell, like, a big guy and you're sweet, you're like, oh, don't call me sweet. But you really are. And that's a beautiful thing from the stunt community, because you see big guys, but you guys are the most normal, well-balanced, like, well-rounded human beings, you know, and that's an amazing thing.
Well, it's part of a group, a club. Once you're there, you trust the other person so much. Because sometimes you're putting your life in their hands. If you're walking across the street and you're driving by in a car, if you have to walk to a certain point and stop, you have to know that person in that car is not going to run you over. So your life is put in other people's hands a lot of times. And your safety, and just even if they, like if I throw a punch at an actor and I accidentally clipped him, that would be bad for me. That'd be terrible. That'd be the worst thing.
Mm-hmm.
Actors trust us not to be too physical, not to hurt them. Sarah Wang Kelly, I like her. She requested me one time to put a, I have her kneeling down, and I have a real 9mm pistol cocked to her head. Of course, it's not loaded. No, but she actually trusted me, and that was like a real honor for me, because, you know, she asked that I do that. So
yeah, it's that stuff is scary. You know, it's like to do that, and people that don't do stunts and they're just actors, it's got to be kind of, you know, a little scary. The stunt people are like, hey, yeah, I can do it, you know, especially if they have experience like yourself. And it's amazing, because what you guys, you put your body into this to help tell a story. And I think out there that half the films out there in the world would never get done if it wasn't because of the stunt people. And that, you guys are going to always have my respect, you know. And if you don't mind me asking, what was the hardest film you've ever had to work on?
Hardest?
Yeah, like the hottest stunts, hottest film that took the most out of you.
Oh, that's hard to say.
So many of them.
Well, actually what you do is you get an adrenaline high. Forget the drugs. Forget the alcohol.
Yeah.
You start doing it. First you get prepared in your mind. So you're kind of, and then all of a sudden it comes together. And then you're going. And you're going, and the next thing you know, you got this adrenaline high. So you're not even knowing. Then the next day you'll say, wow, I hurt that. What's a big bruise? But while you're doing it, you really don't notice, because to me it seems like such an honor to be called, to be remembered, to be recognized. And, I can't think of hard ones. Oh, some of the scuba diving ones are where you get down and you're running low on air, and you're checking your air, or you see a bull shark or something that comes looking around, and you're running low on air, and you got to go up and keep watching. Some of them underwater shots get a little hairy.
So but when you're working underwater watching your air, there's always people around you. So there's always people around you, because I think when people think of stunts, you know, I try to explain to people, even though I've never done stuff like you guys have done, but doing stunts, you try to prepare as safely as you can. Because I believe, you know, even looking into things myself, you know, looking to hopefully get ideas to have you in a film with me and other actors like Don the Dragon Wilson and all these other people, Stephen Lambert, Douglas Wong, and even though you guys are experienced, you know, that much, the thing is, for me, myself, if I think something isn't safe for you guys to do, I wouldn't ask you guys to do it. So it's all about planning, and it's, you know, you try to stay as safe as you can, and people don't understand that. They think it's kind of ironic. They're like, well, someone's jumping off a building. How much more safer can you be? Do you know what I mean? How can you, like, explain it to people to try to help them understand, because you've been working on the sets. Can you tell them how you prepare for things before you actually do the stunts?
Yeah, usually I see who has the props, who has the airbags, who has explosions. I had explosions before, little pots, but these are like, this is the 90s. I get ready. I hit a mini trap, and the pot would go over and burn holes in my leg when it goes off. So, and you want to know, like, your mini trap, how much pop you get out of it. And a lot of it's who's equipment, who brings the equipment, and how confident you are in them. It's just like horses. I hardly ever get to ride my own horses on set, but I just look at the who's bringing the horses, and I know what kind of horses I'm going to have to do stunt on. So, yeah, and a lot of preparing is they set up the back, and you're going to do a high fall or backwards out a window, whatever you do. You've got to sell that where it's a header, it's whatever it is, you've got to sell that. And you can't turn over too quick because you got half a shot. So you got to be almost to the bag. So you got to know wherever bag that is. As soon as you pop over at the end and land on your back on the bag, that bag's going to be safe. And you're not going to hit the ground or bouncing off of it or something. So that helps a lot to know the equipment, the people supplying equipment.
Yeah, because they would have also, too, like, you guys probably have EMTs on the set, and I mean, if you want to explain to people, you know, if I'm working on a set, you know, all the safety precautions, you probably have people set up, you know, in case of anything, right?
Yeah, and the stuntman's the same. But there's always, before an explosion or a stunt, there's a safety meeting. You know, it always happens. Everybody, and that's just consideration out of the production company and the directors. They always make sure that there's a safety meeting, and then you look to the people that's putting it together. But the stuntman has final say. Okay, we okay? You know, you give you a thumbs up. Yeah, okay, everything's okay with me. So we have the final say where we do it or not. But if we say we can do it, we better show up and be able to do it. We can't show up and everybody's looking at us and say, oh, I can't do that. So we have the final say as how we go, when we go, how safe we are. But we got to do it once we give them the thumbs up.
Okay, well, did you ever... you don't have to answer this question. You can say move on because I'm, you know, I always try to be respectful. It's just something in my head. Did you ever come across in a time on a set where you thought something wasn't safe? And because you're like in a contract, I'm non-union, so it's a lot different for myself. Did you ever have to say, no, I'm not going to do something? And then people like, well, you have a contract, you have to do this. And if you did, how did you overcome the problem?
No, I can't ever think of that. There's been a couple times that I remember sat on a horse and a car. The director says, I want you to come as close to camera as you can. And we'd be going on a dirt road in a car 90 miles an hour, and you're just getting as close to the camera as you can. And you go by the camera, and you look back, and half the crew's in the ditch behind them hiding because you come too close. And then you come back and say, was that close enough? Because if you didn't hit the camera, then that's about as close as you could get. So I've had that on horses, too. I've had the guys, the camera guys are amazing. They'll sit there and I have a camera on you, and you'll be coming at them with a lance, and it'll be going by right skinning over their head because they're going to pick that lance going through there. And you just think, if he just moved a little bit, it would ruin the shot. Or if he moved a little bit into the horse, he'd bump off of it. But these guys, camera guys, are the best. So when you got people like that you're working with, it gives you a lot of confidence. I mean, still, you've got to have the safety. But if you work with these guys and you know them, you got a lot more confidence that you can do things. So it makes it better.
So it's really a trust thing that you do have to build up in the industry, because it's not just like trusting the actors, it's the cameras the camera people. But if you really think about it, it really is on the stunt people, because you're the ones that have the safety. You're the ones. I kind of think that the stunt people really are the ones that are in control, because you have to make sure when you're fighting that you're not hitting the actor. If you're doing any stunts like you riding the horses or driving a car or something like that, you're the ones that really are kind of in control, because you have to get to a point where you're not going to kill someone. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it really
is
to you, you know, but you guys don't get it. I mean, it's starting to change, but from what, you know, from years ago, I had the guy that's the head, the CEO, John G. Hagner, on my set. I mean, on my, not my set, my radio show. And he said, because he's now 85 years old, he said many years ago, the stunt people, and they could not talk at all that did stunts on set. And I'm sitting there thinking, imagine though, that's your job. And it's like, anybody should be able to talk about the job, but he could not talk about anything he did on set. And can you imagine that with all the hard work you're doing, you can't see it. You're the one who suffered for it. So even now, they're starting to get more awards. Like, I guess the SAG actors, something, there's something where there's going to be trophies and not written paperwork. And this is, you know, I think been going on for decades. So now there's something new with that. So, I don't know if you heard about that. I'll post it on your wall.
Sure, I've heard about it.
Yeah, and I was like, whoa, because they were trying to, you know, get a petition for that going. Because if you really think about it, the stunt community had to go and do two separate award shows themselves. And I'm like, no, wait a minute. If you look on IMDb page, right, you see, you know, everything on the whole entire, all of IMDb page, you see the actors, extras, wardrobes, all this stuff. And on the bottom, it's like stunts are the bottom. The bottom, like, it seems like they're the bottom feeders. And on top of that, you're sitting there going, okay, now in SAG, you know, Academy Awards and Oscars, I mean, slowly it's starting to change. But you see that even makeup costumes, they've had awards, you know, for many years. Now what about the stunt community? You know, it's kind of like these people almost die. And then people, you know what, when they say this is the answer, and it gets me so mad, and they're like, well, they get paid to do that. And I just want to go out of my mind. And I was like, what? That is such a disrespect. They get paid to do that. So you guys don't deserve awards for doing what you do that helps bring to life a story that takes people into the movie theater for a couple hours, and you guys don't deserve awards. Of course, people, like, they might not agree with me, but you know what? I would like to see any of those people that don't agree with me step into your shoes. I would love to see that, and it's like, push them off the building. have them step into your shoes. And that's why I'm like, people, like, think I'm crazy when I talk about these things, but maybe they're not gung-ho, like, when I see what you guys – the hardcore, I call you guys all stunt guys, even if it's not Marshall. You guys are my ninjas. And I was like, I love you guys. So, you know, have you ever worked on a martial arts film?
Oh, yeah. I've worked on quite a few of them. I've got one I just signed for in 5 months. I think Don Wilson's going to be in it. Let me look here. Who I got? I've done martial arts on Miami Vice. I've done a lot of martial arts with weapons and swords and staffs and
it's
my favorite sword. I love swords. Well, I love those swords. Yeah,
I'm
liking
you more. I'm getting all hot. I need a shower. I'm like, woo! So, are you able to talk about the Don Wilson, Don the Dragon Wilson? Can you say which film it is? I know sometimes when people, you know, they get signed on to things, they can't say anything, but are you able to talk a little bit about it or the name of the title or anything? Because I know the one film that he's doing, and I'm like, I wonder if it's the same one. Are you able to at least say the title?
I haven't got it yet. I can't say yet, but I think Cynthia Rothrock's going to be on it too. She's good. She is so beautiful, you wouldn't believe it. around for so long, and she's more beautiful now than you've ever seen her before. So.
Oh my gosh, I know what it is. I can't say it though. I know exactly what it is. I know what it is. Like, you're gonna tell me if it's yes or no, but I know one of the films I'm helping to promote. And if it's the one that I'm thinking is, I'm like, I don't want to get you in trouble or anything. But when you find out that you're definitely on it, you'll have to tell me so I can add you to it. But I know which one you're talking about.
I can't wait because I've worked with them before, but it's been a long time ago. So, it's really going to be interesting. Then I know sometimes we get to do I don't want to say anything bad about Pete. This might not be bad, though. Okay, I was working on this movie, Black Knight. Martin Lawrence. Tons of sword fighting. Sword fighting everywhere. Everywhere we go, we sword fight, turn the camera around, sword fight some more. Promote, sword fight, we'd run back, sword fighting. But when you did anything near him, he wouldn't on a horse. He wouldn't get near a horse. And if you did any fights with him, any close, you couldn't make any contact of any kind. My son did a header where Martin Lawrence is standing there. My son runs by and Martin sticks his arm out. My son has to do an end over his arm without touching his arm. So kind of a backflip without touching his arm. So when you got limits like that on your fighting and your what you can do, it makes it real tough to sell. Mm-hmm. But it's just another challenge.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, sometimes you know what it is too. I think what it is. See, you're around horses most of your life, and I know for a fact because I've been around horses a little bit. Horses are big animals. And I think sometimes, not that the person isn't a bad person or anything, maybe Martin, he just, you know, because like I said, they're big animals, and maybe he wasn't used to being around horses. I think it was, you know, it's something where it is intimidating. Even a very calm horse, they're very big, and you see them on films, but when you're near a horse and you're a little nervous and people saying don't be nervous because the horses can feel that they're very sensitive. So, you know, I think he was, like, trying to be careful. Probably he knew that he was so nervous, and he's like, I think maybe safety reasons, like, I can't do this. So
No, it's actually a good thing because if I remember, that was like a 14-hand Friesian, and a 1,400-pound Friesian. He was huge, just solid black. Now, I mean, anybody that's not around horses, if they turn their back and have a worry about stepping or bumping into them or something, that's not a good feeling. So he had one guy that actually did his horse stuff for him, and the guy was a good cowboy. He was a black cowboy, and he was a good cowboy and a good horseman. He did the horse stuff for him, and then he had another guy that did his regular doubling for him. No, I'm not saying anything about him not doing the horse because, you know, you put yourself in a situation on a big Friesian stallion around there that. And I think he was hanging off. He was supposed to be hanging off of too. So I think you got his double. We had to tie him on and run him out of the castle. So. Yeah, no, there's no actors that goof around with that stuff. And if I didn't know horses, I'd be scared too, or a little.
Yeah, they are, you know, from experience, like I said, I just, another thing, you know, like for a film that I had for my own film, and one of the reasons why looking at you, you know, the film that I'm going to do a lot of homework. It's a ninja samurai film called Funeral War, and I was thinking to use this big, huge, bad guy, samurai guy. But the thing is, because I'm thinking of having horses in it, you have experience with horses. So I feel kind of safe knowing that if I have you on set, you know, and you were doing things, you could handle the horses really well. I love animals. I've had a little bit of experience working with animals, but I think it's people like you who have that experience. That's why I had in mind for you for an idea for a film. I mean, I have to do a lot of homework, so this could take a lot of time, but I just feel very comfortable with you because you know you are very patient with them, you know, and to have a horse lay down with you on the ground, I think that's amazing. You're like a real, you cuddle with the horses. So, I mean, that's going to be something special. No, you don't have a teddy bear. You have a horse. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Big, huge creature that's so beautiful. And there you are laying on the ground with it. It's cuddling with you. And I'm like, oh, boy. And it's got to be special. You know, for you to see someone laying on the ground cuddling with the horse, that's going to be some amazing bonds. And, you know, I mean, did you think of this when you were a kid that you wanted to work with horses, though, growing up? Have you always loved horses?
Well, I was in Long Beach, Southern California, but it was different then. There were a lot of dairies and stables everywhere along the San Gabriel River bed. Every Friday night, I'd go on the night ride. And the reason I liked horses, guys went, all the girls went. So I'd go on the Friday night rides, and all the girls would be, you know, that's how to meet girls, is on horses. So,
oh, see? You had it over the other guys. They should have went with you, but, hey, that was all good for you, right?
Sure. I mean, what's a kid going to do? You walk along the beach or you walk down the street, you want to look good for the girls, you know, when you probably look like a dork. Trying to look so good for the girls, but yeah, that was just the way it was in those days. It was just a fun place to be.
Yeah, they must have more like more cities and stuff nowadays anyway out there, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's changed. It's changed a lot. You wouldn't even recognize. In fact, it's hard for me to tell how it was, because people look at it and it would be so different.
So,
but I do
know
that. Huh?
Oh, sorry. Well, I was going to ask you like more about the horses, but what were you going to say?
Well, when we were kids back there, one thing that didn't change in Long Beach is they have this place called Signal Hill. That's where we would all, and I don't know what it is, it's some big oil thing, and it's just a big hill right in the middle of Long Beach. Everybody would pull up the top and park, you know, all the kids. And from what I understand, they still do. So that's funny. I like to see that. It's the long hill straight up.
What is it? What you said hill? What was the name of it?
Yeah, the name of it was Signal Hill. And they had oil wells going up around it, but you could drive up to the top and park, you know, with your girlfriend, and look out in the city. And it was so weird because it's still there. That hill is still there, and it hasn't changed. The hill is still there from when I was a little kid.
Well, I'm trying to Google it. I'm going Sigmund Hill. Did you say Signal?
It's like Signal. Yeah, Signal. S-I-G-N-A-L, Hill.
Signal Hill. Oh, okay. Because I'm like, I was getting pictures of Sigmund Freud. Oh, wow. Oh, I've got it up right now. Wow.
You?
That's amazing. It looks, I mean, even though the oil thing's out there, it's still, some places that they're showing is really pretty.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, when we were two little Korean wrestling girls, we take our bicycles up to the top, and we push them all the way up the top of that hill. I mean, it was hard for little kids. And then we'd get on them and ride our bikes all the way down as fast as we could. We'd shoot down through a stop sign at the bottom of it. And then we'd look back up, and that'd be enough. You know, we just, one time was great. So much work. But that was
fun. Wow, that's beautiful. Because they're also showing, it says Signal Hill, they're showing some places with palm trees, too. Wow.
Yeah, they kind of added a lot now, but still the same hill.
It's still a nice view, because when you go up in the top, is it Los Angeles that they're showing down? I'm looking down, and it's showing skyscrapers and stuff.
You look north off of it, Los Angeles. You look west. Well, you look west, and you see Long Beach, and you see the harbor and the ocean. You look north, you see Los Angeles. You look back to the right, and it goes back up to Norwalk, Bellflower, up in that way. And then you look to the south, and Nick was down there. Well, I kind of used to live down kind of the south. It was Lakewood, Long Beach, Artesia. So, yeah, you could look all over forever up there.
Wow. And it doesn't even look like, you know, they say in Los Angeles there's a lot of smog. It doesn't look like there's that much smog, though.
Yeah, it kind of gets up there above a little. Plus, the closer you get to Long Beach, to the ocean, the breezes come in. And it'll kind of push the smog in to industry a little. So where we lived, there wasn't very much smog. There was a breeze blowing in. It was just nice.
Wow.
There was a friend of mine. Huh?
Oh, it says, yeah, I'm seeing it. I'm seeing, like, looking on pictures, it looks beautiful. It really, really does. And what were you saying about, you said you and a friend?
Yeah, a friend recently, and I don't know how I went to high school with her. I went to junior high school with her. I went to grammar school with her. So we kind of grew up together as kids. And she put this, for Easter, she put this cross on the beach, cross was, from the pier, and on Seal Beach. And I, just from that little bitty picture, I could remember all of that. So, you know, the kids grew up there. Everybody would go to Colorado Lagoon. People would go to Belmont Shore. There would be no waves. Go Seal Beach, you'd start getting into waves. Go Huntington Beach, there would be surfers. You'd go to the jetty they used to have there, and that was for surfers. You'd go down to Newport Beach, and that was body surfing, pretty big body surfing waves. So, like, all the kids would find out where the waves were and what they were going to do, so they'd go to the beach. If there wasn't any waves or water's too cold, yeah, you'd go up the mountains, the snow, or go out to the desert. It was a fun place.
You, like, had it all.
I know.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Did you ever go camping up there or anything?
Yeah, I love skiing. Skiing's one of my favorite things, snow skiing. Yeah, I learned to ski up in Big Bear, Lake Arrowhead. And then
you would stay. I mean, when you went up there, did you camp or did you, like, have a place to stay, log cabins? I mean, what did you do when you were, like, skiing?
Well, it's like I had a million aunts and uncles. I had some of my aunts were singers. Some of my cousins were in the old black and white westerns. And they all seemed to have a place. Somebody had a place in Palm Springs, another one at Lake Arrowhead. They had a little cabin. So I had so many relatives, there was always some place to go and hang out.
So did you ever get in, you know, when you first started doing stunts, now I know sometimes people, you know, as teenagers, they get into troubles and stuff. When you first started doing stunts, did you do anything that could have gotten you in trouble? Can you talk about it?
Well, let me see.
You don't have to say anything, but if there's something that, you know, you want to talk about, it's always good to know, because people talk about, you know, things about, like, well, I did this and almost got in trouble or something like that, because it's always good for a laugh, you know.
All right, here's your story. So I was, what was this on? I was working on Walking Dead. So I don't know how many zombies they had. They had at least 250. But they had a zombie school where they go to, they did all their makeup and everything. And then the stunt guys, there's probably 10 of us, we had our own little room. So I came back from doing a little shot, and I come out there, and there's a girl talking to my daughter. She was trim, blonde, but she was in zombie mouth. So I thought she was an actor. So we were just talking and laughing, and she says, "Do you know who I am?" I said, "Sure I do. I'm a big fan." Then my daughter kept giving me the eye. I was going, "What the heck's the matter with her?" So we talked and talked, and we visited. And just, then the girl said, "Hey, I get you back to the extra room. I get in trouble." And she went back over there, and I asked my daughter, I said, "Who was that?" She said, "I tried to tell you. She's a stripper. She's just here for the extra." I said, "Great. I've just been telling her I'm a big fan of hers. I follow her."
No, you didn't.
caught you with an actress, and I'm just trying to be nice.
Yeah, no, I've done that too, where I think one actor is another actor, and you're sitting there thinking, oh no, that's not, you know what I'm saying? But if you're in zombie makeup, how are you going to really know, you know, they could look like one of the actors on the show? So it's kind of funny, but that is kind of a funny story. And speaking of Walking Dead, because I know there's Walking Dead fans out there, how many times have you worked on that show?
Actually, I did the first guy killed on it in the GTO scene, and then we did the horse scene. And what I'm really disappointed is they're kind of downplaying that horse scene, I think because it looked violent. But that was my son's horse. My son was on it. My daughter was in the front. I was on the back. We pulled that horse down. So, and we had a color of the street. That horse laid down so gentle, just like he does every day. And then I just kind of laid over on top of him. And then we do the cut, and then they bring the dummy in, and then the extra jump on. But when we did that scene, it was right in the middle of Atlanta. The horse was laying there, and I'm laying up on it, and the horse is going, ugh. It was groaning. I said, oops, sorry, buddy. I'm trying to move around, and he wouldn't stop it. I looked over, and he had his eyes, he was sitting there getting a suntan, just relaxing out there. It was so funny, but so we had to kind of wake him up to, hey, stand up, we're going to go again. But that was it's a vicious looking scene, but if you're there, you just crack up because it was so smooth and so gentle.
You know, that scene itself, the funny thing is, I was watching I haven't watched any of the shows lately, but the funny thing is I had seen the pilot episode, saw that episode, and then it's like, then right after that, you had told me you were on the show. Where is he? So I didn't know exactly where you were, and then it's like, I see him, and it's fast, and I was like, wait, that'd be Tommy. And people are like, what? No, that can't be Tommy. And I'm like, yes, it is. It's my friend Tommy. So then I saw it, and I'm like, holy crap, because this is a hit show, and you're on it, and you got to flip a car. Are you able to talk about how did you flip the car? Because I want to know these things. What was the secret of you flipping the car?
The actual flipping was Chick Bernhardt. And let's see, who we got? We got me, Chick, and Brent. So there's three of us. But see, they switched it around now, and it's kind of hard to tell. It looks like, you know, I get out, and I get blown away. And then Chick comes out the other door. He was actually the driver. So he's shooting a shotgun. Now, it looks like he's shooting Andy, the actor. But actually, when we shot the whole thing, Chick's shooting, and he killed Chick. And then Brent gets out in the back seat, kind of unknown, and he gets up. And I had already shot the actor, but I didn't kill him. So Brent stopped. Shoots him, hits him, knocks him down hard. So
yeah, you go out with a blazing
glory.
Is really
hard.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's
you get like shot up pretty good. And guess what? I have a caller on queue. I don't know who it is, but can I bring the caller on?
Sure.
Okay, let's see. Give me one moment here. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hi, caller. You're on the air. Who's this?
Are you speaking to me?
Yes, I have you on the air. Did you want to comment, ask a question to Tommy?
Yes, so I was just listening, and this is David, DJ.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Hey, how's it going?
All right.
Yeah, I just, you know, wanted to hear what was going on since you mentioned that you were on the air.
Are you one of the part of the stunt community, DJ?
It's DJ. DJ.
DJ. DJ.
DJ. You know, just like
DJ.
David Joseph, you know, Pineapple Express, Cop with Mole, you know, that guy.
DJ, I know. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I talk funny. I got a Boston accent, so forgive it.
You're forgiven.
Uh-oh, we just lost Tommy. His call just dropped. I hate when this happens. Oh, no. Tommy, if you can hear me, call back in. So how are you doing since I still got you on the air? Do you do stunts in the community?
I've taken I've taken a break off for at least 2 years now because of my son.
Oh, okay. So have you worked with Tommy?
No, I haven't. No, I did Black Ops, military junk, and SWAT team all in Hollywood, and that's where I landed a gig on the Pineapple Express. And shortly after that, moved back here and made a family. We're in Massachusetts now.
Oh, okay. All right. So you're back. You're one of my homeboys.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. I didn't really realize that. So, if you ever want to be a guest on my show, let me know. I'll hook you up.
All right. Well, I just made a funny face on your page, so there.
No, you didn't. Wait a minute. I'm scared. Tommy, are you there with me? I think you had dropped it. Let's see. I was like,
yeah, I dropped
okay.
it. I just picked it back up.
When you okay, it's David. Oh my gosh. Okay, I've got you. Because I didn't realize it. Because I was like, I was telling David. I know this guy. He kind of looks like a little bit like Steve McQueen, and a couple of Robert Redford all mixed in there. And I was like, you gotta call in. I was like, yeah. He I was like, Tommy works a little bit with Steve McQueen. And that's like one of the guys that David likes. Yeah, so thanks. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I actually wrote a script that was a prequel, not prequel, but the nephew of Frank Bullitt that buys the Bullitt Mustang and has another car chase, but this time in downtown Boston and gets it destroyed. I'm just waiting to get that filmed.
Oh, my gosh. This is so awesome. Some of my favorite people in the whole world are on my show. I'm so blessed today.
Well, good.
This is awesome. You know, David, I've got to have you on my show. I know you're busy. But see, I have the best stuff people in the whole world like Tommy here. Did you want to ask him anything since I got you on the air?
Well, I mean, how are you doing? How's that for an answer or a question?
Oh, he dropped again. Well, I don't know what's going on. Oh, gosh. Where did he go? Oh, this is horrible. I feel so bad. He dropped. I'm going to send a message. Wait a minute. Let me try. I apologize. So let me just send a message. Call back in. So give me one moment. Call back. Sorry. I don't know what's going on. I'm like, I'm not doing it. The show's dropping it itself. Oh,
yeah.
I hate when things like this happen. So while we're waiting for, Tommy to call back in, what have you been up to?
Well, like I said, I've just been sitting around the house, taking care of my son, reading scripts, prepping for when he goes to daycare, and studying Linux.
Linux, that's a computer program, right?
It's an operating system very much like Unix, but it's open source where you can actually see the code in the background and how it's put together.
So is it something anybody can learn?
Yeah, anyone that has computer knowledge can learn it. How's that?
Okay. It sounds like it. I mean, does it cost anything? Can you download it for free? Or
you can download an entire operating system for free, burn it to an ISO file on a CD, and install it onto just about any computer. The only problem is that you'll lose support from Microsoft because it's not a Microsoft product. It's a total operating system. And it's very stable and very unlikely to get viruses.
Oh, well, that's good. I guess it's good in some ways, right?
Well, and considering that the operating system is controlled or used for Google search engines as well as big corporations, Microsoft is going by the wayside. So ideally, you want to learn Linux.
Oh, okay. Because my computer's bio, and I'm like, I'm kind of sometimes a tech tard. I just like, okay, when I get a program or something, I learn how to use it. So I try to figure out how to you know, things are given to me, so I just learn as I go. And let's see if, speaking learn as I go, let's see if I can bring Tommy back on the air. I'm trying to bring him back in the queue now. And let's see. Let me try to bring him back on. Okay, Tommy, I'm so sorry. I was trying to send you a message on Facebook. You know, I do apologize. I don't know why it's dropped, but I'm glad. Thank you for being patient with me. Thank you so much.
That's all right.
I don't believe her. She did it purposely.
Hey, listen now. David got me in trouble. David finally called in on my show. I've known him for quite some time now, and it's like he's been wanting me to work with him back home in Boston, and he finally calls my show. He's getting me in trouble with my stunt buddies. Thanks. Thanks for representing me, David. Thank you so much.
Hey, what do you expect family for? I mean,
yeah, that's what buddies are for. That's what
great. That's like, now I'm not going to poop my pants live on the air right now. Thanks. I'm like, I swear I'm going to get the pens or something because David's going to help me, like, just pee my pants. I'll be like, oh, my God, help me, help me, help me. This is, you know, but it's a pee party, I guess. I don't know.
Hey, Tom, do you like Tommy or Tom?
Tommy.
You like Tommy?
Yeah, Tommy.
Okay, cool. So what have you been up to, just hanging out?
No, I've been recovering from a broken collarbone, a broken jaw, a dislocated finger, and I've just been doing a lot of martial arts training. I'm now 100%. So I've been practicing on my horses, doing some Pony Express mounts and some light stuff, easy stuff. And, I'm 100% right now, ready to go. I'm practicing with my swords.
That's cool.
Working out. Yeah.
That's great. I mentioned I took a sabbatical after coming back from Hollywood to raise my son.
Yeah.
And he's reaching his two-year time parameter, and that allows me some time to not just study Lennox, but actually go back into the field of acting again. So that'll be fun.
Yeah. That's one thing I get, every acting part I get is a bad guy. I can't do anything else. They won't let me read, and I cut my hair, I let them do it on set. You could trim me up as much as you want, and I can't play a good guy. So I'm okay with that, because always bad guy role. I'm always going to get killed, so I'm happy doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a paycheck. It pays the bills. Keeps you working.
Yeah. Keeps you out there hustling and thinking and, just keeps you alive. But it's like,
I don't know if you heard what I mentioned, that I had written a script that's basically a continuation of Bullet.
Oh, yeah.
And I was going to actually, at the time of writing the script, I had a replica of Bullet Mustang all set to go. I ended up selling that for $22K, but it was to be filmed out here in Boston, and I was going to destroy the car.
Yeah.
You know, as well as I do, it doesn't matter how the film is, but they'll come to see the car.
I know. It's like on Walking Dead, that the judge, that's, I think it was a 71 GTO, the judge. Dang, it was hard to blow that thing full of holes. And when they shot me, if you look, there's squibs going off all over, putting dents and everything in. Plus, it's just been rolled. You think, oh, man, what I'd give to have that car.
It's messed up because a lot of times you see the car and you think, you're going to do what with it? Don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I got to take off. I just wanted to call in and give some support and, you know, say hi to you, of course. I got to take care of my son right now.
Oh, well, thank you, David, for calling in. And I'm going to get you on my show. You better. Since you tortured me today. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. My job.
Hey, keep in touch with me, too.
Hey, will do.
I love kids.
Facebook page. I got you both on my Facebook page, so you might be able to find each other. David, if you want to friend him, I think you can find him off my Facebook page. His last name's McDivitt. I think that's his last name, so that you know.
I commented on the last stuff you have on your page, so I'm sure you can get to me.
Yeah, Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that you guys know each other.
Yeah.
Well, I got to run. It was nice talking to you, and I look forward to working with you guys.
Yeah, sounds good.
Well, have a good day, David. Thank you.
And stay strong.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Tommy?
Yeah.
Are you still there? That was
yeah.
so strange. Sorry about that. I was like, what the heck? Because I didn't touch any buttons. I'm sitting there talking, and it just dropped twice, and I'm like, oh, crappy crap.
I don't know.
So, I was like, I think I'm actually getting callers to call in. I'm just trying to talk to someone right now that's like, can I call in? I'm like, yeah, go ahead, call in. And I got a funny feeling. I know it is, like, a friend, actually she's my cousin, Kathy, and she's like, can I call in the show? I'm like, yeah. I was like, I'm trying to, like, say, okay, wait a few minutes and call in. So I think she's going to call in, but... Another thing about my radio show, besides Stuntman, I've had family members calling in that I haven't seen in, like, decades. Isn't that kind of cool?
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm like, this is really... Yeah, so this is another blessing besides the stunt community. I've had family members who I haven't seen, like, 10, 20 years, and they're calling in, and I'm reconnecting with them. And I found out that in one side of my family is a whole bunch of ninjas. And I'm like, what?
Oh, yeah.
So it's really cool. And I'm like, oh, this is awesome. It's just, now everything makes sense because I'm finding ninjas in my family. So what were we talking about? I think we were talking about the Walking Dead, about your experience in there. Did you get to talk to any of the actors or actresses on the show?
You bet. Yeah, absolutely. The best. Andy, he's the lead. He's the nicest guy you ever met in your life. Deserves every credit he gets. He's professional. He's super. John Bernthal, he's an ex-boxer, so we have that in common. You know, moving, slipping, throwing punches. And I worked with Sarah before, and she was just great. Hey, though Sarah, she's from Vancouver. So, I mean, she's pretty pale complected. And we're out in, 150-degree weather. And she was more concerned about the stunt guys. She said, come on, you guys come into my room here so you can get some air. Well, we all had dressing rooms too, but we didn't want to tell her. We didn't. But she was so concerned about our nice of her.
Aww.
Well, I got to talk to a lot
awesome.
Of those guys.
That's awesome to hear, you know, that when you're hearing, you know, because you don't really know people and the actors, that you get this people that aren't into films and stuff. Sometimes it locks into an idea what when a person, they're acting, that they're like their character. But they're just doing the acting, so it's like I hear so many different things about people waiting to get killed off on the show, but really, actually, she was really a good person.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I tell you another thing that was really, I'm really impressed about The Walking Dead was that Frank Darabont, the director. You know, he did, Green Mile, and he's done some big things. Jeez, he was right there. And he doesn't have much hair anyways. And he was getting so red. I felt so sorry for him. But he was in there. He was looking back and forth. He'd go to check the gates. You know, he'd look at this. He'd look at that. And he was just in there. Gail Ann Hurd was the producer. She was right there, too, in the heat and everything. And I've worked with her before, but, boy, what an honor to work for people like that, you know, the producer and a director like that. That director rated us.
Yeah, I heard it was really hot, like really, really hot, because you guys were filming in Georgia, right? Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, especially like the car scene. There wasn't any trees. We were out in the middle of, outside of Atlanta, but there were trees just kind of rolling hills. Not a tree. You could see a tree anywhere. So, and it was, I don't know, it had to be 95 degrees. The humidity was terrible. Then we went back into town, into the city. Well, we had the city and the shade was falling on, like, the tank and, you know, the building. So it wasn't quite so bad, but the air didn't circulate in the city, so that was hot, too. Yeah, that was up in Atlanta.
Wow. It must have been, because you guys were filming during the summer, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You must have, like, sweated off quite a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, when we did the horse thing, we went into makeup. And I mean, there's huge makeup lines. So they bring the actors and the stuntmen. They have to take quicker because they have to have a little more detail. And for some reason, they got me in there quick, but they didn't realize I was a stunt guy. So they put my my makeup on, and I go out there, and I look just like Beetlejuice.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, if you look at a picture of me with that horse, I look just like Beetlejuice. And pretty soon the eyes started to come off, you know, because of sweat, and I'm trying to pop makeup back on, and they're running around. It was so stinky.
Yeah, that must have been.
Makeup on.
Was it stinky, too? Because if it's that hot and you guys are sweating, didn't like, because I heard when they were filming, like, in the forest and stuff, it was like, you know, they says, you know, I didn't shower and all this stuff, and it was stinky, and it was like, it must have been kind of smelly, because I know with working on indie films myself, and you're sweating, and it's like after a while, and it's hot, you know, you're sitting out there, and we don't have AC, we're just out, and it's like, ooh, I'm starting to smell ripe like garlic or something. It must have smelled kind of after a while.
Yeah, and usually with myself, I'm usually pretty cool until I do the stunt, and then all of a sudden, that's true, I start sweating. I don't know why I do, but it's just the way I usually do.
Yeah, no, I do too. I sweat, and I'm like, it's just like, ew, but I think after a while, because everybody's working in it, you don't even care about the smell anymore. You just want to get it done, and there's no showers. You have to stay in the stinky, smelly, the blood, and imagine the zombies, how they have to keep eating stuff over and over again in the hot weather, and you have to be like, oh, my God, it must be like, you know, I mean, even though that stuff that you eat, it's all food, you know, it's just that, just the idea of it, it's just like, oh, that's just so nasty. So props to the zombies. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, ooh. You said that your family worked on the zombies. They were zombies, too, with the horses and stuff. You said they were zombies in the city?
Yeah. If you see that horse scene, my daughter Kimberly would be the little blonde zombie. She'd be on the front of the horse. She starts the horse down. My son's doubling Andy, so he's in the saddle doubling the actor. And I'm on the back reaching up and pulling, pulling Andy off the horse, which actually I pulled my son off of it. And then we take the horse down, and my wife was kind of on the back. Now I jumped on top of the horse. So right there was and
what was that again? Because you were fading in and out, Tommy? Hello, Tommy? Oh, it looks like it dropped again. I don't know what's going on, ladies and gentlemen. I do apologize. So what I'm going to do is play a song, and I'm going to see that Tommy comes back on the air.
I don't wanna leave, I don't wanna stay, you the most.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'm back on the air. It's kind of crazy today. Let me see if I've got my guests back on the air. I do apologize to my listeners out there. I try to get a hold of some tech people. So let's see if my caller's on the air. Tommy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, Tommy. Thank you so much for the invitation. I do apologize. I just see that the call has dropped. You know, it was doing that, so I do apologize. It seems like it's all set now, but came back on. And thank you so much for being patient with me. I do appreciate that.
Don't worry about it.
I told you it wasn't going to be enough time. It's like I'm looking to see that the time, and I probably got about 20, 25 minutes. I mean, now that we're caught up, I want to know any new stuff that you've been working on or anything that you can talk about, know that you're able to.
I'm working on some live show stuff that I've been doing. Mainly it's the last, 2 months, 2.5 months, I've been healing from this broken collarbone and jaw. But that kind of set me back. But I noticed I'm back in my martial arts to get my kicks back up. I was going to test for 6 down this year, but I think this will set me back a little bit, so I'll stay at 5 down for a while. But that's pretty high, so that's all I've been doing is kind of working myself physically to get back in shape, and I think I'm 100% now.
Oh, sweet, and you're all healed up, you know, from all the injuries and stuff, too?
Yeah. Yeah, I got a couple little scars that's kind of, I tell all the girls how I hurt myself so bad when the shark attacked me or something. You know, I got a couple war wounds now, but I got a bunch
you
of them.
You did not. Do you not do that, Tommy?
No. No. So they see the little scars, and I'll say, oh, yeah, that's the shark. When the shark, I just barely got away from him.
Yeah, you could be playing somebody so much. I mean, can you talk about all your injuries? Is that okay? Can I ask you that?
Yeah, let's see. I kind of have to look at them because I don't really think. My fingers are crooked because I broke them so many times in boxing and rodeos. So when I type, it's almost like I'm illiterate. So I said, I'm going to quit. I'm going to keep trying to type with my crooked fingers until everybody figures out that I'm very well educated. So, but I got my wrists, take a little few scars. I'm not on the inside, on the outside, and the elbows, and kind of forget a lot of. Oh, I got my nose. If you see my headshot from the 90s, I look exactly like Chuck North. I got a little pussy nose. Yeah, if you see it. I used to walk down the street and people think I was Chuck Norris.
Oh, my God, you got to post that. Do you have a picture of that? You got to post it on my Facebook page.
All right. Yeah, I should have that. But you'll see in the 90s, my nose was broke one way. So I went to the plastic surgeon to get my nose job. So he fixed my nose. Well, now it's twisted the other way.
I went through
all this nose job and then got my nose broke, twisted over to the other side is all he did. I got scars all over my head. But there's little boo-boos and stuff from, boxing and patch of calcium deposits around my eyes, like a boxer.
And
can't bring anything else.
You like need your own personal nurse.
Yeah, I know it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I should like, you know what, I should like to become a nurse so I'd be on set, so I'll tend to all you guys.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, Nurse Shelley. That must be like, you know, maybe I can start some, learn to be a nurse and to be on set just personally, you know, I'll dress up in a nice, cute nurse's uniform and take care of all you stunt guys.
Yeah, it'd be like a reality series, Nurse Shelley.
Yes. Yeah, Nurse Shelley, taking care of you guys, all your boo-boos, and kissing them, making better. And I'll put, like, little cute Band-Aids, cartoon Band-Aids, you know, something like SpongeBob Band-Aids on all your cuts and boo-boos and kiss them, make them better.
Yeah, but this is the way it works. If we're just walking around and we're hurt, we don't show it. But if there's a nurse going to look at it, all of a sudden we're going to be three times as much. We're going to be limping, and so the nurse can kiss our boo-boos and look at them and help us with it. But if we get hurt, we can knock the wind out of ourselves or something. We'll get up, get back to the dressing room, and then show us. So
yeah,
for Nurse Shelley, we all show
us. I would be like, oh, yeah. I was like, go get hurt. I want to talk to you afterwards. Only me, it sounds like sadistic. It's like people look at me like, Shelley, you're really crazy. I go, no, man, imagine getting hurt on set. You have a scar, some better scars. I mean, what better, like, a souvenir from a set? Okay, seriously, if I was working, you know, one of my idols, Jackie Chan, I work on a set with him and I get stitches somewhere, and I'm like, yeah, that's my souvenir. Look at that lovely scar.
Diva.
Work with Jackie, I earned that battle scar. You know, it's like, you earn it. And that should, I think, depending on your scars and everything like that, you should be higher up in a rank as a stunt person. The more scars and boo-boos you get, that means you're higher ranked than stunt people.
Yeah,
I think
that's
how it should work. Not just working on the sets, because you earned those boo-boos.
That's right.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, hey, I cut my head open. You know, I got a metal plate. I earned that battle scar. You know, it's like, okay, I got things in me like, what's it called, like a Wolverine? What's that stuff Wolverine has, titanium? It's like, that titanium.
Yeah, I got one on my shoulder.
Yeah, see? Yeah, titanium. Do you have anything, any metal in you from any, did you ever have to get implants or anything from any injuries?
You bet. I just got this one for the broken collarbone. I got a titanium plate with screws. So the doctor's looking at it, and he's asking me, he's looking at it. It looks all right to me. It looks like, I didn't know it was that big or that many screws. He's not saying anything. I says, so do I have a screw loose? He looked at me and says, he looked back at the x-rays and says, no. So, okay, that was a joke, but all right.
Wait a minute. Where's the titanium? It's not in your head, is it? Where is it? What part of your body is it in?
It's on my left collarbone.
Your left collarbone. So here's a really silly question, because, you know, I haven't been on a plane for a while. Now, you have to go through the x-rays and stuff. Does that, when you have stuff like that in your body, does it go off when you're going to an airport or anything?
Well, this is the only plate I have. I just got over the boo-boo, so I haven't tested it out yet. It's got to go off because it's a little plate.
I'm sitting there wondering, because it's something that's known as part of your body. It's metal. And I'm sitting there wondering, it's like, I was like, may as well ask the question. It's like, you know, and I really want to know, does it set off, you know, does it do that at the airport or something? Because they have all these things, you know, like I said, I haven't been do something like that in, you know, on a plane for quite some time now. So I'm just sitting there wondering. I wonder if people that do have metal in their body that's implanted because of injuries, if that sets it off. You know, because
a lot of my friends have it. Well, yeah, a lot of my friends have it, and they always get pulled over and checked. But
do they really? Wow.
Yeah. They say it sets off right away, sets the detectors off. But this is the first one I have, so nobody's done me yet.
See, I feel like, you know, I would want to, like, if I ever, God forbid, I ever got implants, I'd be like, yeah, I want to set off the airport metal detectors, and people, like, think I'm crazy, but I was like, imagine that. I says, no, listen, I got an implant. I'm part Wolverine. And I know you're not supposed to get around at the airports, but see, I knew it. You really are cool. You are part Wolverine. See, there you go. You could play, oh, my God, Tommy. You know what? You could actually play like Wolverine's father. I don't think he's like him, but I was just picturing that because you know how, like, Hugh Jackman looks? And if they ever did a part, because – I think it's like, I mean, he was all mean, and you play the bad guys anyway. I don't know how much lines is it, but, you know, he's really, you know, the father, no disrespect to you, but you were saying you always cast it as the bad guy. But seriously, yeah. The way Wolverine looks and Hugh Jackman, if they ever do, like, a prequel to, you know, Wolverine growing up, Logan growing up, you probably could play his dad.
Yeah, I'd go for that.
Because I think the father, I think the father's Canadian. I don't know if his mom, I forget the origins of Wolverine, but I think his father might be Canadian. Don't quote me on that. I could be wrong. So, you know, I think you could actually pull it off. You know, it's like because he's a big guy, even though in the comics itself, Wolverine really is a runt, and he's like 5'3", but Hugh Jackman's, he's like over 6 feet tall or something. So really, you could play Wolverine's dad. You really could, because he's not a, I think he might have been in the service or something, the way the storyline goes, but he was really a jerk, and I think he'd make an awesome, you know, Wolverine's dad, because you just could pull that off. I could picture that. So listen, anybody that's ever going to make a film out there, you know, and you're going to have, you know, the dad of Wolverine, cast Tommy. Give him some lines. He play. I bet you would kick butt. You would be a great Wolverine dad.
Well, I've had up to 40 lines before of dialogue, so
all right. You know, it's like I think you would be able to do quite well, because I know it's like you mostly do in the stunt stuff, but, you know, I just can picture, you know, having that meanness. I could picture you pulling that off, because you could do, I know you'd have, like, great expression stuff, even having some lines, because just to be, like, I could see you as a samurai, right? Just this big guy up on a horse in the big, huge, you know, samurai outfit. And I'm doing my research. I mean, to have, like, you would be like the bad samurai. And I'm doing research, you know, on you know, learning about, you know, casting people a certain way. And I do believe, you know, like Don the Dragon Wilson, I pictured him as, you know, a samurai. And he's a warrior. And no one, I showed him a picture because I'm friends with him on Facebook. And I can't believe that throughout all the times he's been in films, no one pictured him as a samurai. And I'm doing my homework and doing things respectfully and then casting, thinking of my idea, Don the Dragon Wilson, as being a good samurai. And to have you play, like, a bad samurai and have you do lines, I mean, come on now. I know you could do it. I know you'd be able to pull it off, even if it's a few lines. But you got it in you to be a real badass samurai. You know why? You know why I would kick... have you as a bad guy, because I'd be able to trust you because you know what you're doing. Do you know what I mean? It's like you have that experience with horses, and you to be the badass samurai as a bad guy, you have the experience and it's the trust. It goes all down to that, because I think you're a big guy, but I think because you have the experience, I'd probably cast you as a bad guy. But with lines.
Yeah, I hope so.
You know, give you some lines. It's like, why not? I mean, seriously, why couldn't I do that? If, you know, I get back this for the film and it's my film, I'm not going to sign over creativity. That's the thing. If I have to have a contract and stuff like that, I'm not signing over my creativity, because that's what I want to have control. So if I cast you as something, I'm able to get you. I know schedules and stuff like that. I'm giving you some lines. I hope that's okay.
Yeah, I'm real comfortable with it, too.
Yeah, you make bad guys look good. I don't know if that's ironic to say that, but you really do. You really can pull it off, and, you know, you got to be that good to play a bad guy, you know,
hey,
if you really think about it.
You know what I wanted to ask you about? I don't know if we talked about it before, but, yeah, Montana? You have the contact that from Montana that you have a family contact or something there?
Well, I have this family out there. I haven't seen, but I was like, I actually do. Why? What's up? What's going on?
Well, because I've been up there too. I've won the bull riding twice at Billings, and I won the bull riding once at Missoula. So I've been up there for a while in Montana myself.
Oh, my gosh. It is such a small world. That's where my family, where my dad lives, in Missoula.
Missoula, yeah. That's a college town over by, go across Spokane. Missoula is the prettiest town you ever saw in Montana. It's great.
Yeah, this is a small world. I actually walked up to the M, you know, on the mountain where the college is, where the Grizzlies. I actually walked up the mountain, and you can go up there where the two letters are, and I think it was the letter M, but during the summer, because they have fires, they have to close down the mountain to walk up there, but I actually was able to walk up there.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's
a small world.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So what was I going to say? I think when you got dropped off before, I think we were talking about some present projects or future projects that I think you were going to start talk about.
Yeah, I'm going to do a music video, but it's a remake of an old one, and I want to do it right now, and I will do it exactly the same. I don't want it to be better or worse. I just want people to see that we can do something now that looks like it did in the 50s. So that's what I'm working on now. I kind of pretty much got it together. A little horse stuff, a little fast riding, you know, a little getting shot. It's just a little video. It's going to be fun. Then I have another one. I'm going to do a barroom brawl right at the bar here in town. And we're going to do a big barroom brawl in there. It's going to be super. So that's going to be
cool.
That's our local town. Yeah, so we could just try to bring the movie industry a little more to Florida, because it's drifted south and north, and these guys from in the county, I keep saying, hey guys, let's do a little something. They just act like they're not interested. So if I do one or two little projects here to get them to see what they can do and how much income it can bring in into the economy, I hope they take a little more interest.
Man, it sounds like you guys have all the fun. I'm just like, ballroom brawl? I'm just like, oh, man, pick me up, throw me over bars, and not for nothing, but I used to, when I first got into, working in a little bit of indie film, right, I would say to the director, I says, hey, you need an extra woman, pick me up, throw me over bars, no problem. They're like, this girl's like nuts. Because one of the films that I worked on, it never got shown, but I got that picture. It was John Fiore from The Sopranos. He worked in the first season. And Boston comedian Lenny Clark. And it's like I'm in the middle, and I had these lines, and I was like, it's kind of like I'm playing with the big boys. You know, Frank Santarelli from The Sopranos.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, you know, it's like even though it never got shown, I have the picture, and I was a female bouncer, and I was like, just pick me up, throw me over the bar. And I always say that. I've worked in it, and they'd be like, this girl's, like, really nuts. And I was like, just throw me over just one time. And they're like, okay. And now I'm getting known to be thrown around on set. I'm getting my butt kicked, but in, like, funny ways. So I was like, yeah, you guys playing with the guns, the big boy guns, and all the sorts of stuff. And I was like, I want to play, too. You know, you have all the fun, Tommy. I'm just jealous.
Well, it's fun if you're working. The more you're working, the more fun you're having. But if you're, you know, you can get in between a long time of work. Sometimes that's kind of hard. But that's what your residuals are for, from our union. And, you're talking about the Screen Actors Guild is going to give awards now for stunt people, too. But we have our own Taurus World Stunt Awards. I think it's coming up on Saturday, May 10th. It's a Paramount studio. So we all get all dressed up with all the stunt guys and all the action actors that be there. And you get to dress up, and the girls get their fancy dresses, and the guys, you know, get as cool as they can. And, hang out with all the swells, so that's always fun for our Taurus Awards. So I'm looking forward to that. It's on the 10th, and we get to see all the old guys and the new guys, and everybody is there. Yeah, I get 10 tickets to it.
Really? I'm looking it up now because I looked on Facebook, and it says the Taurus World Stunt Awards is a yearly award ceremony that honors stunt performers in movies, and it says categories, best fight, and it goes in a listing here. That's really That's really awesome. I'm going to post it on my Facebook page after the show. So how many years has it been around?
Not too long. I'm an original member of it. I don't know. Hasn't been that long.
Official website? Okay. Maybe a couple years. So it's May 10th?
2003, I think it just started or something like that. Then it got bigger and bigger, and, that one was Zip Fairmont Studios, for the limousines and everything. So, and it was televised, and then it wasn't televised. Now, it's still a big thing, and, it's just great for stuntmen.
Okay, I've got it now. I went to it says Taurus World Stunt Awards, and you can vote.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to see where is it says list of shows, Stunt Academy, the statue. So I was trying to see if there's, you can click the Facebook. I don't think that they have. I'm going to click on awards like 2014, so I'm actually on the page, but I'm trying to see what are the nominees, winners and nominees, but it's not.
Yeah, I have them over on another paper. I've got I just got my invitation here. So we got five members of my family that's on the Taurus Awards. So we get 10 tickets. So it's kind of like a place for our family to hang out and get to see everybody and have a lot of fun.
Okay, I got it. And then it's saying like fast. Okay, this is what I wanted to, because I just saw it on there to vote and stuff. Because it says that you worked on Fast and Furious. I think it was 2. What?
Yeah.
Was it 2? I mean, what did you actually do on Fast and the Furious?
We just drove cars. We drove cars fast. We drove them into everything. We drove them. Fast. We'd lock them up and slide them, and if we was in a rental car, they say, "You dump this car, you gotta go home." So you lock them up and slide them, and you can't hit another car. Or if you have a crash car, you slide them. Yeah, we had a ball. That Miami Vice and 2002 Furious was just fast driving. Just everywhere.
Oh, wow. Like, did you get to meet, on the second one, I don't think The Rock was on it. Was it Diesel and, Paul Walker? Did you get to meet any of those people?
Sure. Yeah, we're right next to us. Paul Walker's the nicest guy you ever met in your life.
Oh, man, thank you for bringing that up, because I've been trying to, promote about Paul Walker, and it's like, he left behind, this great foundation, and people think, everything's just handed to himself. He actually started getting into, wanted to do charity work. So, I mean, how was the experience working with Paul Walker on set?
Great. Anybody say anything?
I'm sorry?
Nobody could say a bad word about Paul Walker that I know of. He's just the nicest guy there was. And he'd even, we'd be driving, and we had freeways locked up. And people would come over beside the freeway, and when we would be in between shots, he would walk over and shake hands and sign autographs with people when he didn't even have to. And, I think my wife's got shots with him, my dad. Just a super nice guy.
Yeah, it's something that, I'm trying to help keep his memory alive, because, for me, I'm a stunt chick, loving action films, and I've always been a Fast and Furious fan since the beginning, and even the last one, to see the film, this is how dedicated I was. It took me over an hour and a half to walk to the movie theater to go see Fast and the Furious, back and forth, because that's how dedicated I was. Because they don't show, where I live, they don't show a lot of the action films, like a lot of Jackie Chan films, they don't show here. So in Fast and the Furious, it says, I am not missing this. So I walked back and forth. It took me an hour and 20 minutes. It was during the summer. I walked one way, enjoyed it, had a ball, and then walk home. It was an hour and like 20 minutes or whatever. I says, I don't care. I'm not missing it. So, yeah, I did. It took me like 3 hours altogether just to see that film. That's how dedicated it was. And, oh, so like you met like Vin Diesel?
Yeah, I'm at those ones.
I'm like in love with him. I love him.
The one that I just can't get over a nice guy who was like Paul Walker. And a lot of that was because when he went to, I think he went to high school with the stunt double. I think his name's Oakley. And he was so loyal, he brought the guy up from high school. They stayed together as friends, and the guy's making, you know, million-dollar movies and everything. He's still staying with the same guys he went to school with. And you just, oh, yeah. And my daughter was playing football up there. I got another girl, and one of the guys said, hey, you guys get that out. I'm falling over, and he got the football and started playing football with my daughter and this other girl throwing the football up there. So he was a heck of a nice guy.
Oh, man. I just, you know, there's so much in the action films that people just do not understand because they think action films, they're not worthy films, but people don't realize how much it actually takes to put into an action film.
Yeah. Yeah, and when you start hitting those cars and sliding those cars, you know, your e-brake goes, and you're in big trouble. And if you bump a car, you dent a car. I think there was, what was this movie we did? Tim Allen, we did it. And it was just where some goats run out in the freeway, and we all locked up all probably 30 cars. Well, to get
wow.
that tight shot and get the action and not crash anything, because we were driving a lot of rental cars, you crash one car, you had to crash the car, so you're coming in as tight as you can. But just those shots like that are really tough to get. But that's why the stunt coordinators, you know, they know the guys that they can get. They know who they can bring in, who they can trust, who will work hard without it's real good. We work a lot down in Miami with Artie Maleshi. He's been there like forever, and he'll run a lot of those, most of those shows down there. And we've known each other since the 90s, early 90s, late 80s. And so you work with the same guys that you see over and over and over, and it's like old home week, you know, when you come back to work. It's really nice.
That's
what's
great about the stunt community. I'm sorry?
Unless they don't call you, then you say, well, what are you wrong?
I can't believe that the show is like almost over. I cannot believe. I'm like looking at the time, and I'm like, you serious? I knew it wasn't going to be enough. I mean, would you be able to come back on my show again? Because I love you, Tommy. I really do.
Sure. Anytime for you, Shelley. Just let me know.
Thank you so much, and thank you once again for, you know, being patient. I'm sitting here, and I see the call drop, and I'm like, wait, I didn't do anything to make the call drop. Oh, crap, live on the air, and it's like, no. You know, I'm like, I think I'm going to poop my pants. But thank you so much, Tommy, for being a guest
right.
on my show. You know, be safe out there. Kick some butt, and we'll be talking, okay?
All right, Shelley. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you, and bye-bye. Oh, my gosh, I just do not have enough time on this show. 2 hours, it's just not enough. I'm telling you, this stunt community is so wicked awesome. You know, if it wasn't for the stunt community, half the films out there would never get filmed. And they've got my respect. You know, they're the top dogs, men, women, and animals. As you can hear, you know, Tommy working with the horses now, you think that why he's so cool and awesome. Anyway, you know, anybody that has a dream out there, just remember, you are as good as anybody else, you know, and whatever you want to go do in your life, just do it, because it's better to try and fail than not to try at all, because you'll live with regret. So just be out there doing your thing. Well, anyway, thank you. Ninja Sunday is always my favorite day of the week. What am I going to go watch now? I don't know, but it's always a good day for a film. Just chill out and look forward to getting more people on my show. I'm wicked pumped. I love the stunt community. Thank you to my listeners out there, and have a good Sunday afternoon.
Getting real hot, sweat, strip, tripping, getting real close, girl, feeling that rhythm.